Good afternoon. Today I want to talk to you about the all-important question. It is found in John 9:35. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? It's a pertinent question, it's a relevant question, it's a personal question. Do you believe on the Son of God? In John chapter 9, we are introduced to a man and a glorious, happy, unforgettable yet turbulent day in his life, because that would be the day when he would meet a man called Jesus. Since the moment of his birth and from the time when he was cradled in his mother's arms, this man was blind. His mother shed many tears over her boy, who could hear the voices of his parents. He could not see their faces. He could feel the breeze, but he could not see the colours of nature. He could taste his food. He could not see the colours of the food. He could not see the fields where they were grown. The blind boy became a young man, healthy and strong, but he couldn't work. He was sent where every other incapacitated person was sent. He sat on the busy streets of Jerusalem, jockeying for position with the deaf, with the mute, with the cripples, with the diseased, with other sightless people just like himself. And so he lived on in his dark world. Then one day as he begged, a man came up to him with the words, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He could hear the man spitting on the ground. Then his blind eyes were anointed with clay mixed with his spittle. This man, who was called Jesus, told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Someone led him by the hand through the masses until he was at the edge of the old pool. As he knelt down and rubbed the water into the clay, and as he massaged his eyes, the light entered. He could see the water below. It was so fresh. It was sparkling. It looked so beautiful. Looking up, he could not only feel the heat of the sun, but he could see the blue sky. Looking around, he could see faces. He could identify the colours of garments. His friends were no longer voices. He could identify them by sight. Oh, what a happy occasion. As he returned home to see his parents, he immediately became the subject of attention. Some said, "Is this the man who begged? Well, he does look like him." "I am he," he says. "I am that man. How did this happen?" "A man called Jesus. He touched me." "Where is he now?" "I don't know," he said. These neighbours brought the Pharisees to see this man. And so there was a debate, because the day when the man was healed was the Sabbath day. It was a day of rest. How could a sinner do such a thing? How could a sinner heal a man on the Sabbath day? How could this man, Jesus, transgress the law of God in this way? And so the Pharisees were more concerned about their rules being broken than this man being healed. And so the Pharisees, they asked the parents, "How did this happen?" They said, "Ask him." The man argued that if Jesus were not of God, he could not do this thing. Only somebody who came from God could possibly have changed his life. And so the man was put out of the temple. He was excommunicated from the Jewish faith. He was cast out. He was made like a Gentile, whom the Jews regarded as dogs. From being transported from the heights of vision, the heights of sight, he was plunged into the depths of banishment. He ended up in another dark and lonely place, and this was not the dark and lonely place of not being able to see. It was the dark and lonely place of being rejected by his fellow man, being rejected by his religion, the only religion that he knew. All because he told the truth that a man called Jesus touched him. He was in an isolated place. He really needed Jesus now, but he didn't know where Jesus was. And then Jesus came. This was the second occasion that day when Jesus entered uninvited and uncalled for into the life of this man. On the first occasion, the Lord appeared to take away the blindness of his eyes. On the second occasion, he came to remove the blindness of his mind and heart. Although he was healed, and although he knew much about Jesus, he did not know Christ personally. Therefore, he needed this question: do you believe on the Son of God? This is the greatest question that can be asked of a man or of a woman. This is the question, the all-important question. This man was banished and isolated. Today, could it be that you're banished and isolated? Maybe from your fellow man. The Lord cares about you. But if you're not a Christian, you're banished and isolated from God. And that's the darkest place imaginable. You're a stranger to God and his grace. Being without God, you are without hope. But yet there is hope, because Jesus comes And he asks this question, do you believe in the Son of God? This is not a question posed by a man or a woman. It's not a question presented by a preacher or a friend. This is a question that comes from the lips of Christ himself. As you listen to the Word of God this Sunday, do you hear the Lord challenging you, asking you, do you really believe? This is a question for everyone. We all need this question. It challenges faith. It also reaffirms faith. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The all-important question is a question concerning the soul. Something miraculous and vital had taken place in the life of that man on that Sabbath day. He was cured of a disability that was beyond the remedy of any earthly physician. Sight is perhaps the most precious of all our faculties. Yet as he sat outside the temple forsaken and alone, he discovered that the gift of sight was not everything. As the Lord posed his question, this man who once was blind discovered that he was blind in his soul. He had been healed in his eyes, but now he needed healed in his heart. There are things in life that are so very important. Our income is important. Our health is important. Our family is important. But the most important question of all is the question of the soul. Where will we be in eternity? And it is concerning the question of the soul that the Lord says, do you believe on the Son of God? If you don't have the Lord today in your life, your soul is blind, your soul is destitute, your soul is lifeless, your soul is dead. There's nothing more important than this. There's no question more important than this, because it is only this question that can address the soul, the real you and the real me. This all-important question is a question concerning salvation. It is so important that your soul is saved. Saved from the guilt of sin. Saved from the penalty of sin. It's so important that your soul is saved to go to heaven. Because death is not the end. After death there is the judgment. And there is hell for those that know not Christ, and there is heaven for those that know Christ. And the Lord said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. A place of golden streets and everlasting life. And you can only go to that place whenever you're saved. Your sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary for you and for me. It is so vital that you are saved today, that you know you're saved. This is the all-important question. It's a question without a substitute. The Lord said, dost thou believe in the Son of God? He didn't say, do you go to the temple? He didn't say, do you offer your sacrifices? He didn't say, do you pay your tithes? He didn't say any of those things. He didn't say, are you a good person? He says, do you believe in the Son of God? There's a lot of people today, and they're trusting in their church, their religion, paying into their church, trusting in their good living and their good works. Nobody that was good living ever went to heaven because they were good living. They went to heaven because of Jesus. Because the Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We are all sinners. Every one of us are completely filthy in the sight of God. We are depraved and we are warped and we're a sinful people. And we need the grace of God in our lives. There's only one that can save us, and that is Jesus Christ. This is a question without a substitute, because there's no substitute for this question, for there's no other way of salvation but through this man, Jesus Christ, who lived for us and rose again. Therefore, are you trusting him today? Have you given him your life? Dost thou believe in the Son of God? This is a question demanding a selection. This question is inescapable. It must be faced. Whenever you hear the gospel being presented today, you're being challenged to make this selection, to come to Jesus Christ, to trust him, to give him your heart. Whenever that man was in this lonely, dark place, he knew that Jesus was the Saviour. If it wasn't for the fact that the Lord stepped away, allowed him to be cast out, allowed him to be isolated, if it wasn't for that fact, this man would not have believed. He would have been a seeing man, still blind in his heart. The Lord had to permit him to pass through this lonely place in order that the penny might drop. You are the Son of God. And at that moment he bowed his head and he believed, and the light suddenly flooded into his darkened heart, and he was a saved man. Will you today believe? Will you renounce your sin? Will you confess your sin to God? And will you say to the Lord, save me? I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. My sins need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you confess your sin and give the Lord your heart? And you will know that you are saved because the light will come. Oh, don't remain in the darkness. We are told by the Saviour that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And if you resist Christ, you're embracing the darkness. You need to turn away from the darkness and come to Christ and find the light, and with the light comes hope. With the hope comes peace, and with the peace comes assurance. I pray that you will come and trust the Lord today. I thank you so much for listening.